"You brought no one with you?" he said suddenly. "Or got anyone that follow you?"
"No, sir. No."
"Well," he said, "I believe you. You'd be a fierce young wretch at your age if you'd help to trap a poor convict, hunted as near death as I am."
I pitied his misery and watched him settle down with the pie. "I'm glad you enjoy it," I said.
"Thank you, my boy, I do."
I had often watched a large dog of ours eating his food, and I now noticed a decided likeness between the dog's way of eating and the man's. The man took sharp, sudden bites, just like the dog, and he looked sideways here and there as he ate, as if he thought there was danger of somebody's coming to take the pie away. "I'm afraid you won't leave any of it for him," I said, after a pause.
"Who's him?"
said my friend, looking at me sharply. "The young man that you spoke of. The one that was hiding with you." He gave a little laugh.
"Him," he said. "He don't want food."
"I thought he looked as if he did," said I. The man stopped eating and regarded me in surprise.
"Looked? When?"
"Just now."
"Where?"
"Over there," said I, pointing. "I found him half asleep and thought it was you." He took me by the chin and stared at me so fiercely that I thought his first idea of cutting my throat had returned. "He was dressed like you," I explained, "and had an iron on his leg. Didn't you hear the big gun last night?"
"Sir, there was firing," he said to himself,
then gave me a little shake.
"Did you notice anything special about the man?" he demanded.
"Yes, he had a badly bruised face," said I, remembering something that I hardly knew I knew.
"Not here,"
exclaimed the man, striking his left cheek with the flat of his hand.
"Yes, there." "Where is he?" he cried.
He began putting what little food was left inside his grey jacket.
"Show me the way he went. I'll have him yet. Curse this iron on my sore leg. Give us the file, boy."
He went down on the wet grass and began to file at his iron like a mad thing, not minding me or minding his leg, which was sore and red with blood. I was very much afraid of him again, now that he had worked himself into the fierce hurry, and I was also afraid of keeping away from home any longer. I told him I must go, but he took no notice of me, and so I thought the best thing I could do was to slip away. The last I saw of him, his head was bent over his knees, and he was working hard at his iron. The last I heard of him, when he stopped in the mist to listen, was the sound of the file still going.